Will Hamster, I see that all your activities are limited by the cage. You can't do anything outside of the cage, but inside of the cage. You know, all of our activities are limited by the circumstances of life. And we're going to be talking in this lesson about how to fulfill God's will for us right in the circumstances where we are right now. How to bloom where we are planted.
A part of the body of Christ in Titusville, Florida. Agape Ministries.
Discover why God made you with Peter Lord.
Hello. We've been talking together. This is the fifth lesson in this series on how to discover and fulfill God's purpose for us. We said that the purpose of anything is the most important thing, the primary purpose for which it was made. And we've said that God made us that we might love Him and please Him, that we might glorify Him, that we might have fellowship with Him. Those are all basically different sides of the same word. Let us put it, we're simply made to please God. And we've said that in order to please God, we had to have three basic commitments. Our commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, our commitment to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and our commitment to the Word of God as the Word of God. And then we have said in order to properly fulfill our purpose, we need to establish priorities, because with priorities, choices become easier. I know I must do the first things first before I do the second and the third and so forth. And it enables me to make choices in pleasing God in a very practical way. Now, I'd like to break life down today into 12 areas to try to show us some practical ways of going about pleasing God by looking at the different areas of life. These areas are areas in which most of us have to live. We don't have any choices about these areas, and I'd like to discuss them with you. Would you open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 5:23. In this passage of Scripture, man's three parts, my three parts, your three parts, are spelt out. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let us go up to the board here a minute and look at these three areas. Okay, I am to please God as a person. And as a person, there are three areas. There is spirit, soul, and body. Now, another area that circumscribes my life is the area of family. Everybody has a family. And I have broken family down into three areas because I have found that this enables me to think more clearly. Most of us have a partner. We have children. And we have parents. Then there's another area that most people fit into, and that's the area of work. And I've broken work down into three areas. There's the area of the job itself. There's the area of the associates on the job. And then there's the area of the money that is made from the job. Then there's another area of life in which we all live. It's called community. Now, I have broken community down into three areas so that we can think clearly about it. Christians live in a community of the church. That is the community of God's people. They belong to churches. Most Christians do. All Christians should belong to a local church and participate with the body of believers there. Then there's the community of just other people, like neighbors and people we run up against, other people. And then another part of community is the community of government. Now, let me just try to put all of this together for you before we actually go to show you how to work it out. I become a Christian. I commit myself to spending the rest of my life in pleasing God. But my life is circumscribed by certain things. For instance, I have a body, I am a soul, and I have a spirit. If I'm going to please God as a person, I must please Him in all three areas. Now, most people are circumscribed with some aspect of family. I have a partner, I have children, I have parents. If I'm going to please God, I'm going to have to please Him in these areas, not just simply because I have them, but the Bible tells me I have to please God in these areas. For instance, I can never please God as a partner without loving my wife like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Then most people have to work. Work is a necessity. And most of us live in a society in which work is necessary. Now, the work, there is the job itself. How can I glorify and please God where I spend 50 hours of my week? Now, usually in most jobs, they're associates. How can I glorify God with the people I work with? And then the product of my job is dollars. How can I glorify God with my dollars? You can't live without money in any society that I know of, or some medium of exchange. How can I glorify God with my money? Then there is community. I don't live by myself. I live in a community of people. There is the community of the redeemed, called the church. There is the community of other people. We live in neighborhoods. Not everybody lives together in the church. And then there is the community of government, where I have a responsibility, whether I like it or not, to the government that is around me. Now, if I'm going to please God with my life, if all these 12 areas are true about me, it's going to be necessary for me to please God in these areas by acting as God would have me to act in these particular areas. And so I'm going to have to find out how to please God in these areas. Now, one of the wonderful things about this, is that God knows that in my case, all 12 of these things are reality, and that in most of our cases, most of them are realities. There might be some people who are retired and don't have to work in that sense. Young people who are going to school, school is their work. But the vast majority of these areas are true about every single person who wants to please God. Now, how can I please God with my life? I can please God with my life by pleasing Him in the areas of my life in which I have to operate. And so I want to show you how to do this in a very practical and simple way so that you will be able to put this into practice in the days that lie ahead. Now, when I commit myself to pleasing God, when I commit myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to the leadership of Holy Spirit, to following the Word of God, there must be some practical way in which I can outwork this. Now, in the last lesson, we talked about priorities. And there are priorities in pleasing God. If I can only do the first thing, this is my first area in which I must please God. And so, you see, God would expect us to fit all of these in to pleasing Him, at least the ones we have. Now, I'd like to show you a very, very practical way of doing this. And I think it will really help you if you will look at this with me. And we'll take a couple of examples. I'm married. If I'm going to please God, I'm going to have to please God as a husband. So, let me put it up here like this. I have to please God as a husband. How can I please God as a husband? Now, let me show you how I go about this. And I believe I can leave you with some principles on which you can operate that from here on out you can find out how to please God in any area of your life. Now, I have learned that I have a teacher, remember? A teacher, the Holy Spirit. Now, I have a textbook, the Bible. Now, since the Bible is an eternal book, we can expect the Bible to be full of principles. Now, a principle is a truth that will operate all the time anywhere. It is what one might call an absolute. Now, if I'm going to please God in the area of being a husband, I need to go to God's Word, and I need to find out what God has to say about husbands pleasing their wives and being the kind of husband that I ought to be. For I've come to see this, that if I am not the kind of husband that I ought to be, I can never please my wife, please God like I ought to. That it is very pleasing to God when I act like a husband ought to act, since He has made me a husband. Now, let me show you where I found three principles. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 3 and verse 7. Now, I, first of all, look, let me say this to you, for principles. And in this particular case, the principles in which I operate as a husband come out of 1 Peter 3, 7. You say, how did you get this? Well, the way I got this was this. I am asking God how I can please Him. The Holy Spirit led me to this passage in the textbook and said, here are three principles on which you can operate. Now, I'm going to give you these three principles in just a minute, but more important is this. After I discover the principles, I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me in practices or plans. Plans by which I can carry out the practice. Or the principle, rather. Practices or plans by which I can carry out the principles. Now, this is where the water hits the wheel. Now, let me explain this to you. Let's look at this passage of Scripture and look at three principles that are in here. It says that husbands are to live with their wives in an understanding way. Now, principle number one is this, is know your wife. Now, let me explain to you what the Holy Spirit said this meant to me. I have an automobile and I know my automobile. I know when my automobile needs servicing. I know if some little red lights come on, I shouldn't continue to run it. You see, I know my automobile well enough to know how it operates best. I know what I need to do to my automobile to keep it going in the very best fashion. Now, the Holy Spirit said, one of the principles by which you'll be a good husband is that you know how to minister to your wife so she can run at an absolute maximum. Now, there's a principle. Now, how did I put this into practice? Well, one of the ways I put this into practice is I said, honey, tell me some of the things that I'm doing that are keeping you from being the best, and tell me the things that I can do that will help you function at maximum. And so my wife gave me a list. Okay, my first plan was to ask her, ask her to tell me how she operated the best. And she did. Now, what do I have left to do? I just have to put that into practice. And you know, when I put into practice loving my wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, this is what this is in essence.